CBSI in the World, I'm John Batchelor. Marilyn Brookwood is the author of the new book, The Orphans of Davenport, Eugenics, the Great Depression, and the War Over Children's Intelligence. Harold Skiles and Maurice Kodak have now proved that their observations from the 1930s are very much in shape in the 1960s when they revisit these children who were placed in loving homes and developed very quickly, having escaped the idea that they would be trapped in an orphanage forever, as they were called feeble-minded, they were called imbeciles, they were called morons. These were terms used by eugenicists. What happened to the eugenicists? Chiefly what happened is the crimes of the Second War. Chiefly what happened, although there were crimes in all directions, sterilization was routinely practiced in the 1930s and 1940s. People who were isolated or schizophrenic were treated as somebody like criminals. All of this happened. But Marilyn, eugenicists disappeared. People stopped talking about it. Has there been any effort to very carefully go back in places like Stanford or Columbia or the University of Illinois, University of Michigan, and identify those who offered the Ohio State University, Maurice Kodak's alma mater, and to go back over the eugenicists and identify their prejudices and make it clear that that the faculty went awry? Do they talk about it today, Marilyn?
No, sadly, there hasn't been that kind of an effort. What happened after the revelations of what the Nazis had done in concentration camps was so horrifying to the nation that eugenics was just not mentioned at all after that period. It's sometimes in the 60s, some of that idea came back and they call it scientific racism. But really, from in the 40s and the 50s, none of that actually surfaced. People were much more focused on recovering from World War II. Psychologists were much more focused on adults rather than children. And so the ideas that had motivated the people in Iowa, those ideas really shifted tremendously. And the Iowa Station became a very different sort of investigatory organization. and by the 60s, it was no longer really in operation. So things got very, very different. And really, the ideas of Harold and Marie and the other people in Iowa were subsumed by other concerns. And no one really paid attention to them. Harold never even talked about them for reasons of his own, but he didn't. And Marie, who knew all about them, was also very quiet because she was working in schools and she didn't want to do and wasn't really able to do research any longer.
Let's speak of, because we're talking to people who will take up your investigations, Marilyn, there's a lot of work to be done. Where are the papers of Maurice Kodak and Harold Skiles today?
Harold gave his papers to Marie when he discovered that the University of Iowa had gotten rid of, or in a house, what they called a house cleaning, had destroyed a lot of his work. He gave what was left to Marie. The university did that because it was embarrassed by Harold's work and the Iowa Station's work, which so challenged the current ideas. The people at the University of Iowa felt that they had harmed the university with these radical ideas of theirs, that children's intelligence actually could change. So today, but Marie was very aware that her papers and what she had left, and that was a lot because she saved a lot, were important. So instead of giving them to the usual place where she had worked, the University of Iowa, she saved them and she gave them to the Cummings Center on the History of Psychology, which is located now at Akron, the University of Akron. And they are all there. In fact, it's amazing to me that no one really looked at them closely before I got there.
There was recognition of Marie Skodak and Harold Skeels in their lifetime from the Kennedys, Kennedy Award, and that was very important to them. Also important to them were the successes of some of their studies. We mentioned one in particular, Louis Branca. It's Louis Branca, yes? Who became an administrator, and he flew airplanes. And Harold sent him the award that he has from the Kennedys right before Harold's death.
So Lou Branca was the one orphan that I was able to meet because the other orphans' names had been redacted by the archive, and they allowed me to talk with Louis and know his name because he had been publicly acknowledged as one of the orphans, and he himself talked with people about what it had been like to be in those institutions. And so I got to know Lou, and the Marie Skodak and Harold both admired him and knew what he had done with his life, which was similar to what the other orphans had done. And he became an academic, and he worked at the University of Minnesota for some years. So this was someone who had been identified as needing to be in an institution for retarded children when he was little. If it hadn't been for Harold, he would not have survived as the person he became.
Brain science is now one of the frontiers of the 21st century. And from my reading of brain science, it's entirely supportive of the revelations at the Iowa station. Do the best of the brain scientific labs, do they acknowledge the scale of this success, the accidental success that is now important part of our child rearing? Is it acknowledged, Marilyn?
Well, you know, scientists are very busy people. The person who I've spoken to the most about it is Charles Nelson, who has done the work on the Romanian orphans, and he does acknowledge it. But, you know, these scientists at Iowa didn't have anything like the equipment that other people have. The other thing they didn't have was, while they used control groups, and Iowa people did use control groups when they did their studies. Most psychologists didn't use control groups. But today, you couldn't do a study like this without using a control group. So the Romanian studies, which do use control groups, have a lot of prestige, and they should have, because they really are the first randomized control studies of orphans who were adopted and show the difference between what it means to be adopted and what it means to grow up in a neglectful institution.
Marilyn, my last question is, have you heard from the University of Iowa since you published your book? I mean, it's a tribute to the genius of Iowa in the 1930s. Are they up to date on their own success?
I haven't heard from them. The person I have heard from is the head of the archive at the Cummings Archive, who's retired now, but who wrote me a wonderful congratulatory letter recently about this research. And he's someone who is a historian of science, and he understood when I came there to do my research how important it was.
One final detail, Marie Skodak, what a heroine. Born Lorain, Ohio, she lived to 90 years old. She wrote of all of their successes. She was the daughter of Hungarian immigrants, as I recall. And the detail that you provide, Marilyn, is wonderful. She wanted to be a metallurgist and a chemist when she went to Ohio State with very little money because her father dreamed of mining silver in South America. I regret we don't have her here to congratulate her on her imagination.
I often think if I could have dinner with any one of these people, it would be Marie.
Marie Skodak, Ohio State University was her alma mater. And thanks to an accidental correspondence with Harold Skeels, history was made. The Orphans of Davenport, Eugenics, the Great Depression, and the War Over Children's Intelligence. Marilyn Brookwood is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.